This is Jaggi Singh, and I'm in Nablus of the occupied West Bank of Palestine, and I'm speaking with Saif Salem. He's 21 years old, and he is an activist and a co-coordinator with the International Solidarity Movement here. Saif has been very active for the last couple of years with ISM and in other work, and we'll be spending the next 20 minutes or so talking with Saif and his work here. So, Saif, first of all, I want you to describe for me where we are. We're speaking in Asghar, which is a refugee camp, and you live here. Tell us where we are. What's the significance of the place we're in right now?
Well, right now we are in the middle of old Asghar refugee camp. This old Asghar refugee camp were found in 1948. People who live here, they are coming from 34 different villages and cities which were destroyed in 1948 by the IOF. And the IOF is the Israeli occupation forces, and they call it the IDF as Israeli Defense Forces, but in fact it's occupation, not defending. I'm living in the house since about 7 or 8 years before, and I lived in another house in this camp also another 4 or 5 years, and I lived in a village, so my life is, and I lived in the city too. So as I'm refugee original, also I'm refugee in my country, moving from a village to a city to a camp. People mostly in this camp from Jaffa and from Alud. And I'm my family, my parents and me originally from Jaffa. Mentioning that for me, I never been in Jaffa even for a visit.
Now, Saif, the conditions here, I've only been here a few days, but the conditions here seem to be very difficult. And yet, when I talk to people, when I talk to you, when I look around, I also sense a lot of pride, a lot of dignity amongst people. Talk to me about what this area means to you as someone who lives here.
As someone I live here, first of all, I want to say that since April, when they occupied Nablus, they didn't go outside Asghar camp. There is all the time tanks moving around this area. So many times that they leave the city itself, but around the camp you still see the tanks moving at the main street and the streets which is around the camp, occupying the houses which is at the beginning of the camp as some houses in Al-Masak and Shabia. This area means for me a lot because I learned the resistance since I was a child. I lived here since I started to learn and feel what's going around me since I was 6 years old, and it was the beginning of the Intifada, and I saw it so clear in this camp. People in my age, older, and yes, girls, women, everybody in the street doing the non-violent resistance against the Israeli occupation forces in the first Intifada, which was completely non-violent resistance. So I learned all this strong, I get these strong feelings in the resistance. In this Intifada also, I learned a lot too from these people who refused to listen to the orders, in the occupation orders to the curfew, and they continued doing their usual life resistance, going to the school which is inside the camp. When the UNRWA decided to close their school because of the occupation, they decided to open school inside the houses, inside the social centers. They continued their usual life in the streets, inside the camp, while the tank shooting at the main streets. I'm one of the guys who were playing football inside the streets of the camp, and the tank at the main street shooting and throwing bombs, whatever, and we never care for it.
Saif, we were talking earlier, and I asked you if you ever went to university, and you said no, when you finished your school, you didn't go to university. Tell me why you didn't go to university and are doing the work you're doing now.
Well, before 2 years and 4 months, exactly at the 15th of May, I was at the last my last year in the school, the high school, and it was 2 weeks before my exams, final exams. The 15th of May, I participate in the demonstration for the anniversary of the Al-Nakba, which happened for 1948. In that demonstration, we went to a checkpoint. I was in Ramallah studying my last year, and we went to a checkpoint to do a demonstration there, non-violent demonstration. The soldiers start to shoot and throw gas in their tent to shoot live bullets. And so the people start to throw stones as the soldiers start shooting. At 7 evening, I got a live shot bullet in my chin, which turned me for an operation about 13 hours and to stay in the hospital for 3 months. So I didn't succeed. I didn't have the chance to be in the exams because the exams were for 2 weeks, and I stayed in the hospital for 3 months. And when I went out from the hospital, it was already the intifada in the beginning. So, and if I want to study again my last year, I have to repeat the whole year. I can't just do the exams and be part of the university again or move to the university after the exams. I have to study 1 year completely and do the exams again. While I saw what's going on with the intifada, I figured out that I will not be able to have my time to study while all this stuff going around. People killed here, people killed there, people injured, people arrested, demonstrations, everything going around. So I was not able to, you know, to have the time to study while all this stuff going around. So I still, till now, I want to study, I want to finish this high school and move to university. I have a lot of dreams, what I want to be as to be engineer, to build, you know, bridge and airports, or at the same time to study kind of social work with children. So I be volunteer with children doing stuff, which I'm doing since about 6 or 7 years ago, volunteer with children stuff in different occasions. So just I hope all this thing which going around, the occupation will finish, and I will have the chance to do my dreams. I hope so.
Saif, you're a co-coordinator of the International Solidarity Movement here in Nablus, and in the time I've been here, you seem to be pretty central to a lot of what's happening here. Can you describe a bit what your job is? What kind of things do you do? You seem to be running around all the time, doing all kinds of tasks. What is your job here, and how do you see your work?
Well, if you feel that I'm doing a lot, in fact, I feel that I'm doing less than I should do, and I want to do more. I want to give more. What I'm giving now is 24 hours from my day life to the ISM and to the activities, to the resistance, the fighting the occupation by nonviolence activities. And if there is still a few hours from the 24 hours, I would like to give it more to these activities. And we made a simple card giving our phone number so the people can call us when they need, and it's saying that we are available during the 24 hours. What I'm doing, it's really very hard to start to explain, because this will take hours and hours from explaining the activities that I'm trying to be part and trying to take a hand with the rest of the group. You see that I'm moving around, yes, but I'm by myself, I can't do anything, just exactly. I'm working with a group, and this is the right thing to say. Yes, I'm doing a lot of stuff, but as a part of the group, which is the ISM group in Naples, and now we have 20 activists in Naples, and this is one of the best times for Naples to have 20 activists during the last period of time. Organizing demonstrations for occupied house, organizing demonstrations for checkpoints, trying to be in the with the children and the students when they want to go to school, trying to help people on the checkpoints, organizing visits and sending food and medicine and water to the house which die of occupied, and just explaining what an occupied house means. It's a house where a Palestinian family lived, the IOF came and they occupied it and put all the family in one room, or just they send them outside the house and they bring the family, they don't know where to go. The snipers welcome them, or they go to a relative, and the IOF using their home as a military place. Also trying to follow up the emergency stuff. We organizing now with the villages in the areas to have internationals with the villagers, farmers, when they are going to do their fields now, which is near to the settlements. And also I'm giving training to the new internationals who's coming to be part of the ISM and participate in our actions in different areas. Now we have different actions which is coming, and we are trying to organize as many actions as we can. I hope we will get the right results.
Saif, you mentioned this is a group effort. One of the members of your group, I mean, the group is made up of Palestinians and internationals. One of the members of the group is a Palestinian by the name of Omar Al-Tiki, who at a checkpoint was arrested. And wasn't arrested, he was detained, and he's in jail, and we aren't too sure of his situation. And obviously there are more risks faced by the Palestinian activists who are involved here than there are by internationals. How is it for you when you're involved in this work, and you know you're facing soldiers, you know you might have to cross checkpoints, you know that your friend and colleague Omar Al-Tiki was put in detention and might be away from us for, you know, 6 months. How do you feel with the risks that you're taking?
Well, it might worth to mention that I was detained before for 8 hours in an occupied house while I was with a group of internationals trying to send food and water for a family. And they deport the group, the internationals who were with me. And for me, 8 hours detained in that house, being beaten by the soldiers in inhuman ways, all kind of bad words said to me, and this... It affected me to do more activities, to be part of more non-violent resistance. And yes, Omar is an important part of our team. They detain him, and he is now in Ofra. As the last news that we got, they send him from Hawara to Ofra. Yes, as you said, also he might stay 6 months or more. Nobody know. There is no reasons. There is nobody can know how long he will stay. And when they arrested him while he's doing one of the activities on a checkpoint, trying to help the people to pass with the internationals. And they said he's wanted. While he's wanted? Surely because he's Palestinian. This is my reason. I passed with him in different checkpoints, in different areas. They check our IDs for a long time ago. Many times, and he surely, as I know, he spent with me time more than he spent with his family. So he has no political activities. He has all the activities he's doing is non-violence resistance. If they feel that the people who's doing non-violence resistance is wanted people, so by this they are asking for violence. And Omar Titi, one of the coordinators in Nablus area with the ISM, the Palestinian coordinators, which took part with the ISM, doing the ISM activities, and now he's in jail. This will push me to do more and to have more power, to more energy, to cross the checkpoints. Since 4 months ago, I'm refusing to go around the checkpoints, insist to pass through the checkpoints, whatever they are going to put me long time on the checkpoint, I don't care. And in fact, the soldiers, most of the time, from my English, they don't figure out if I'm Palestinian or not. And I go in the discussion with them, and they don't know what to say to me except just, okay, go. So this is, I learn how to control my fears, and this is the most important thing you have to do when you want to be part of the ISM.
Saif, when we were together in the house of Mohammed Ramadan, a young man here in Asghar who was eventually detained by soldiers, his home was ransacked. I was asking Mohammed why he was wanted, and you kind of laughed at me and you said to me, "Listen, Jaggi, every Palestinian male between the age of 15 and 55 is wanted." Explain that statement that you made to me. Why is every Palestinian male between 15 and 55 wanted?
Why? Because he is Palestinian. That night that they came to his house, in any way, he's my neighbor, and I remember I called you at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning telling you that there is an operation going on right now in Asghar camp, and I heard the sound of exploding the doors, the walls, and my door might be the next door. Thanks God, it didn't happen. But it can't be happen again. And an operation has been asked, and they came to my house and exploded my door and arrested me. And they will say I am wanted to. While what I'm doing, as you see, you said with me, and I'm staying with the ISM most of the time. Even when I go back to my house, there is internationals doing stuff with me in my house. most of the time. So 24 hours I'm with internationals. There's witnesses for the work that I'm doing, and I might be wanted for them, you know? So the explaining of the statement that each male from 15 to 55 is wanted, the only reason that he's Palestinian. The first day, I was in the training, and when I came back, there was an operation in the OCD. I went with a group there, and we went to an occupied house to talk to the soldiers. And the soldier said, I want to kill each terrorist. And I was behind the internationals. He looked to my eyes, and he said, you, come here. And just the internationals hide me, and I scared away from that house. And while I'm with internationals doing nothing, he considered me as a terrorist. And this is a simple example how they consider the Palestinian as a wanted man. Muhammad is 19. He's younger than me. He's spending most of his time playing football while he is not studying or at the university. So he has his simple dreams, his simple life. Might because he has dreams for a good future, for a good life. This may be a reason for being wanted beside his Palestinian.
Now, Nablus, like Jenin and like Gaza, is known for resistance. It's known for opposing the occupation, and certain places are even known more for that, like Balata refugee camp. You've talked a lot about nonviolence. What is your view of armed struggle? What is your view of groups like the Al-Aqsa Martyr Brigade or the Fatah or the PFLP? Or there are very many groups here who oppose the occupation, but they don't use nonviolence. They use armed struggle as their tactic. How do you feel about that?
I believe with nonviolence, and I work with nonviolence. But from the situation, from what's going on, and you see it by your eyes, nonviolence is not the solution which is going to end the occupation right now. Because what we have from people who's coming when we are organizing a campaign, we have for each city 14, 15 person come. So 15 person is doing activities, but they can't end the occupation. If we have hundreds coming here, so this will make the nonviolence is the only choice because it's the strongest choice. I see the army resistance. You can't ask the people to die and not to fight against being dying. In Jenin, so one of the internationals asked me, is it right that 31 persons from the people who were killed in Jenin were armed? I don't see any need for this question because it's Jenin refugee camp. It's not Tel Aviv, it's Jenin. So they have the right to be armed inside their camp. When the Israeli occupation forces coming to occupy the camp, to destroy the houses, to kill the people, when they use the F-16 can't recognize if this person's armed or if it's not armed. So, in my opinion, they have the right to fight against this. I'm against. I don't agree with the suicide bombs inside Tel Aviv. I agree with all kinds of attacks inside the land of 67. I agree with all kinds of attacks inside the settlements, you know. And now Nablus, they occupied Nablus in April. They invasion it after that after April, in 2 weeks, they invasion it again. And another invasion again, and another invasion which is going on. So it's 4 times of occupation, Nablus under occupation, it's under occupation, under occupation. And you saw it by yourself. How the resistance still, how the fighters are still in the city, and from time to time how bombs go out from the city. So they can't finish. They can't finish this. They want the people to do this. They make the people reach a point that they want to die, because there is many people see that they are dying from time to time. On the other side, besides the armed resistance, you can see the people, the civilians, how they are doing their resistance by doing their usual life. The students going to school while there's curfew. And the students going to school in the direction, the jeeps passing in the other direction, shooting, imposing the curfew. Students got killed, and also the students still going to school. And during the curfew, the people opening their markets, their supermarkets, their stores. And the IOF came, destroyed the markets, shooting people, and the same people going again, rebuilding their markets and opening their markets again. The tank moving in the street, shooting around, imposing the curfew. The people running away for half an hour, 1 hour, 2 hours, till the tank passed from the street. And after the tank passed, in 2 minutes, you can see all the street is full with people. You go where? To the farmers, you see the settlers attack the fields. After that, in 5 minutes, when the settlers leave, the farmers go back. The taxis, they shoot at taxis, and many drivers got killed. And the taxis still move, even inside the curfew, even there's curfew. So the curfew itself is illegal. And these people doing their usually life, this usually life is a huge, huge part of the nonviolent resistance in this city, besides the army resistance, the armed resistance, which, as I said before, it's the right. Their right to fight inside their city. You can't stop people to fight inside their city. You can't stop them.
Faith, you mentioned you're opposed to suicide attacks inside Israel, outside of the 67 borders. The ISM's headquarters, sort of here in Nablus, is in Balata refugee camp. It's in the house that we call the Titi house. It's Omar Titi's house, who's been detained, but Omar had a younger brother named Jihad Titi, who many months ago committed a suicide bombing attack in Tel Aviv. But all of us, when we talk about Jihad or when we learn about Jihad, we don't talk about him in terms of what he did was wrong or right. Explain to me how you feel about what happened to Jihad, who was 18 years old and committed this bombing, and how, in spite of what he did or because of what he did, people still support his family and consider his family to be important.
First of all, I want to explain why we are staying in houses for people who did attacks, for people who get killed. We are staying in these houses trying to protect these families from the collective punishment that the IOF is using against the Palestinian people by demolishing their houses, sending the people in different areas. When you demolish this house, so where they are going? There's people got detained to Gaza. Palestinians got detained to Gaza from the West Bank. And they are from the New Asker. They killed the brother. They arrest the brother and the sister and send them to Gaza, and they demolish the whole house of the family, which about 40 persons live in that house. So the same with Titi house. The brother did an attack inside Tel Aviv. Okay. But what the reason? Why he did this? Can we go past just throw his life? Nice, sweet guy, 19 to 18 years old, doing his usual life, loved by everybody. And one day he saw his cousin while he's looking there from the mountain, a tank shooting 6 to 7 rockets to the place where his cousin is standing. Then he don't see his cousin anymore. He sees small parts of the body of his cousin with blood going in everywhere. So he didn't just born to be a suicide bomber or to be someone who do attack. But what he saw, he lost his cousin, the one that he loved, the one that he trusts, the most person that he can talk to, you know? And when he saw this by his eyes, so they show him the way to the death. He didn't just, you know, he didn't meet the death by mistake in the street. They show him the right way, how he can meet the death. And by this, he turned to be someone who do an attack after he died from they killed his cousin. So it's the reason that they killed his cousin. Many friends of him were killed before, but this is what the effect did. When you saw someone so near to you died, and not in any human way, not usual this, you can't even see his body. No part, nobody anymore, only for parts.
Okay, Saif, just a last question. You've described already a lot of the actions that ISM and Nablus is involved with. What are some of the actions that are coming in the future? What are some of the priorities for the International Solidarity Movement, their resistance here in the city of Nablus?
Our December campaign got the main statement, the main title is The Walls. And we have the roadblocks which are going all over the city in Nablus. And we consider it as one of the parts of the wall. So we are trying to organize an action to remove the roadblocks inside the city. And if we succeed to remove the huge roadblock in the middle of the city beside the government building, which separate the camps from the main city. And on the other side of that street, there was a gate, which the IOF put to separate beside the roadblock, and a demonstration organized with the Palestinian associations and the communities, the community with the committees. We removed this gate, and it was an important step with the nonviolence resistance in Naples. And I hope soon, as soon as possible, organizing at this demonstration, removing this huge, huge roadblock.
Thank you, Saif, for this interview and for your time and for all of your work and the work of everybody in ISM. This is Jaggi Singh, and I was talking with Saif Salem. He is a co-coordinator of the International Solidarity Movement here in Nablus. And we were speaking in the Askar refugee camp near Nablus in occupied Palestine.